Welcome to Blackanese Chick. I am your host, Rhett Thompson. I'm so very glad that you chose to download and spend this moment in time with me. I'm trying not to be hot right now. You know, this morning I had a thought. I would wake up, which was always, it's always delightful to wake up. Not knocking on. I figured, let me get up. Let me go downstairs. Let me get some coffee. My regular 4 cups of coffee. American. With that liquid creamer. You know, I like the Italian cream. Sometimes when I'm feeling fancy, I'll get some of that caramel. the caramel cream. You know, put in the coffee. Whatever is on sale. Or whatever I can find in Aldi's. That's what's going into the coffee. And I drink it just like that. I find that enjoyable. That and whatever breakfast that my mother has insisted on making for me. For whatever reason, she wants to make oatmeal for me. I don't really need oatmeal in the morning. I'm cool with steak. Steak and eggs, that's my plan. But her plan was like, no, you're going to eat this oatmeal. All right, if this makes you feel better, I will eat that. What, am I going to not eat her oatmeal, make my own breakfast while she's gotten up early and made this oatmeal for me? So I have to hear the complaint that, yeah, I tried to be a good mother to you, and I also made oatmeal, and you don't want to eat the oatmeal. Yeah. Old people are complainers. There's nothing you can do about that. But you have to remember that that is part of the makeup of an old person. Just like babies are criers. That's what they do. There's nothing you can do about a newborn who's crying. I mean, because that's how they communicate. That's how they tell you that they're uncomfortable or wet or hungry or thirsty or just don't want to be there. They cry. You can't make them not cry. That's just what they do. This is how they communicate. They're not going to all of a sudden learn how to play the flute in order to communicate with you. It's not going to happen. And that is the way old people are. Now, I don't know if the communication is so much the complaining is part of that. I mean, I think there are parts of that, but I just think it's part of breathing. You get to a certain age in life, you breathe, and you complain. Now, my thing is, it's always been my dream as a child to take care of my mother, make sure that she is cared for, that she has a roof over her head, that she has food in her belly, that there's activities for her to participate in. And if I don't catch myself, I'll find myself being very much in the role of a cruise ship director. You know, the one who's, are you having a good time? Is your life okay? Are you fed? Did you sleep well? Did you go to the movies? Is everything in your life okay? But instead of me just being like, okay, that's cool, just keep it moving. Like, if I hear any type of complaint and I'm not in the mood, that just sets me off. Like, oh my God. Blah. Especially if I haven't had my coffee in the morning. So this morning, I go downstairs to get my coffee. My mother is watching Good Morning America. Good Morning America has the newest Bachelor on, promoting the newest season of The Bachelor. 19 seasons. Who knew? Who knew that there were so many people looking for love? Anyway, this Bachelor, I guess his name is Chris Solis. He is a white guy, of course, duh, from Iowa, who is a farmer. And of course, my mother is, oh, the Bachelor is a farmer. No one want to be but a farmer. No one to hard work. No one want to be a farmer. I'd be like, well, mother, I am sure that they screened thousands of possible candidates, and this is who they narrowed down. And I'm sure that he's not out in the fields with a rake and a hoe just by himself with an ox plowing fields. I'm sure that that's not the case. No girl wants to be with that kind of man. This is so stupid. It's like, all right. And then she starts going in on his look, his face. He okay for a white guy, but look at his face. His eyeball too small. His eyeball too small, too close together in his head. And I'm like, well, I mean, he's not that bad. Like, I mean, he's not my type. But he's not, come on, he's not like a troll. And then, of course, going in on the women. Oh, they're so stupid. They're so stupid. They're not pretty. Not, oh, this year, not pretty. Not pretty. They're not pretty. They're not attractive. I mean, they look good. No, they just have a big the booty. A big. I don't even want to get into that because I don't know if she would meant like boobies or booty. I don't. There are certain things I don't need to know. But they're so stupid. They don't know how to cook. They don't know how to clean. And I was like, well, if this show bothers you that much, why are you watching the show? Oh, I going to watch. I going to watch. But you know. All the women are whores. They're just whore. Because they kissing him, and then they see him kissing the other girl, and then they kissing him again. And I was like, oh, you know. And I was like, why do I find myself in the position that I am defending The Bachelor? I don't even like that show. I don't even like that show, but I feel like I have to defend The Bachelor. And then I remember two things. Number one, you haven't had your coffee yet, so you're not really right in the head yet. And then the other thing is, this is her MO, my mother. She just needs to complain. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if The Bachelor was Denzel Washington and all the candidates were from the Miss World competition. It does not matter. There would be something to complain about. Oh, he's so old. Why they got so many young girls? They so stupid. They don't know how to talk to Denzel Washington. He gonna choose a white girl? And we're like, no, he's not. He's probably gonna choose a dark-skinned woman, just like his wife. Oh, he can't choose dark-skinned woman on TV. White people get mad. And I was like, oh, there's nothing I would be able to do about that situation. And so I had to leave the room. I had to leave. Thanks, Bachelor. I did not get my coffee yet. I'm running on fumes right now. Bachelor fumes. Thanks. Thanks, Bachelor. You're awesome. I hope you find love or whatever it is that you do. I hope all your roses crumble. That's what I'm hoping right now, because I'm such in a hater mood right now. I'm hating. I'm hating. Maybe I'm not hating too much. Anyway, my mom brought up a good point that got my wheels starting to click and turn. When she was complaining about the women not knowing how to cook and clean, and I was thinking, well, you know, yeah, I grew up in a community which pretty much said the worth of a woman is if they have to know how to cook, they have to know how to clean, and the better you are at those quote traditional tasks, the better a woman you are. And I was thinking, well, maybe I'm sure there has to be. I mean, there's other skills that we just don't take into account just because these things are just so far removed from us. Like maybe these women are not, they're not taught to cook and clean because they know that they're in their lives, they're not going to have to know how to cook and clean, because they're going to have people to do that for them. And maybe that's a skill. That has to be a skill, to manage a household, to be able to tell your housekeeper, hey, I don't want my eggs that runny. Or, hey, to this woman that is old enough to be your mother, I don't want my bed made in that fashion. I want it made in this fashion. That's got to be a skill. That's got to be a skill. Like, I'm sure the folks who are the Kim Kardashians of the world, I can't imagine her being a third or fourth grader being taught by her mother how to make grilled cheese or how to boil hot dogs because she's a latchkey kid and she has to feed her brothers and sisters because mom is at work. I just can't say that because they probably have a housekeeper or they probably have a nanny or mom probably doesn't even work. So that's not even a big deal. Maybe we shouldn't poo-poo these skills. That's a skill to be able to tell people what to do. Would make me a little uncomfortable, but maybe that's the thing. I have to learn how to be comfortable with telling people what to do. Not telling people what to do. Asking them or hiring people to do these things that I think I should do. These are skills. These are skills. They're just far removed from me, from my frame of reference. I know that there's skills. It got me thinking about other skills that people take for granted. I know when I really started thinking about it, I was like, you know what? I always had a problem ordering food for delivery. I travel back in time to when I was in college. Blah, 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 flashback, right? Blah, 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 blah. And I just remember, you know, there's a thing. You're in college, and they always talk about the freshman 15. Those 15 pounds don't necessarily all come from the cafeteria. A lot of times, look, you're studying, but you get bored a lot. You might be drinking, hey, but you're also eating a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot. And I just remember all those times ordering food with my roommates. And, you know, we'd be like, hey, let's order subs from the sub place. I was like, okay, we'll order subs. And then my roommates didn't sound like that, but hey, let's order subs. I can't do their voices. I can't do the voice of a woman from Maryland. Was it DC, Maryland, Virginia area? I'm sorry, I can't do it right. But we would order subs, and I'd be like, okay, well, I want to get a Philly cheesesteak. Let me get it with the onions, the peppers, and that cheese, of course, and that special sauce toasted. And they'd be like, Rhett, you don't want to order this? We all have orders, us two and our pal. You don't want to place an order? Nah, I'm all right. I'm sure they always thought I was lazy, like late or dismissive. I'd be like, nah, this is my order. This is my order. Just let me know when it's ready. Call me in 45 minutes. And I'm sure they're like, bitch. But really, truly, it's because I was terrified of ordering food. Because growing up, we never ordered food. I had never seen that done except in television and movies. I did not know how that worked. You know? Like, I mean, first of all, in the neighborhood I grew up in, upper poverty, lower working class, I didn't even know that they would even deliver in my neighborhood. I mean, I wasn't in the hood, but I just wasn't in the area that that restaurants, franchises thought were profitable, I'm sure. Or if they did, you know, they probably hung flyers and we just tossed them away because we didn't eat at restaurants because restaurants are where rich people ate. And that's what my mom said. We don't have money. We're not rich. We don't eat at restaurants. I just didn't know that that was something that could be done. I would see Pizza Hut commercials and be like, wow, that pizza looks so good. And I would only see a Pizza Hut when we were riding the bus going someplace. I'd be like, oh, I guess that's a Pizza Hut. I did not know. I knew not of this mythical place. So the whole idea of ordering, I just was like, I wasn't sure if the person, it wasn't like I was afraid of talking to people on the phone, but I was afraid that that person on the other end would throw some type of food delivery jargon that I knew nothing of, and I might agree to something that I did not want. Like if they said something along the lines of hold the mayo, like I know hold the mayo means no mayonnaise. Like I end up getting that clarifying that with someone with when we were ordering another batch of subs. But what if they said something? Do you want us to chip chop the flip flopper? And I'd be like, oh my God, what are they saying to me? I mean, literally that level of ignorance. I had that level of ignorance, and not trying to be funny, but that was how ignorant I was about ordering food. And I was terrified of screwing up somebody's order. So I was just like, nah, I'm all right. Y'all can order here. Here's my money. This is what I want. Just cover it up. This is probably like the equivalent of people who don't know how to read. And somebody said, do you want to read this chapter aloud to the class? Nah, I'm just going to sit in the back and smoke cigarettes. I'm going to do that. I'm just going to pretend I got this bad boy image because I don't know how to read. Same thing. I don't know how to order Philly cheesesteak, so I'm just going to sit back here and act. And act oblivious to the situation and your hard, cold, beady stares at me. Oh man. I remember growing up, like, man, we had so little money. My mom was struggling to keep the house. So little money. We was on like food stamps and didn't have a car. We had to go everywhere by bus and didn't have cable. Didn't have cable. So every Saturday when I was very, very young, my mom would take us, me and my sister, to the main branch of the Akron Public Library, downtown Akron, take the bus down there every Saturday morning, like some god-awful time, like 9 in the morning. Like, they would show movies, like chill in the children's section, like little animated shorts. So from 9 until about like 11-ish, then we would look around the library, and then by the time we would be done, it was like 12, 30, 1 o'clock. We'd cross the street, and there was these the office towers, and at the bottom there was a McDonald's, and I remember always looking at like, wow, it's McDonald's. little kids, McDonald's is ruthless when it comes to little kids. You watch your Saturday morning cartoons, there would be a McDonald's commercial every 2 seconds. And I was like, wow, I would love to go to McDonald's. And I'm sure it probably hurt my mom's heart because we were struggling, really struggling, and she was trying to keep it together. And she just did not have the money to, a couple of bucks. Now, forget the Happy Meal, but a couple of bucks just to pay for a hamburger for each of us was like counting pennies. How's this gonna work? So we never went to McDonald's, and it was always like, wow, that's where rich people go. And one day after our Saturday morning movie session, my mom told us, we're going to eat at the McDonald's. And we're like, oh my God, really? We're going to eat at the McDonald's. So we were so excited. We're done with the library. We cross the street. We go into the McDonald's. And I'm looking at the menu with my sister. And I'm like, wow, there's so many choices. And it smells so good in here. And what are we going to order? And my mom said, no, we come over here. Come over here. Sit down, sit down, sit down. In the corner of the McDonald's, she whips open this plastic bag, and inside the plastic bag are like three tins of foil. And inside this tin is her own homemade hamburger. So, technically, we were eating hamburgers at McDonald's, we just weren't eating McDonald's. I remember saying, but I want the McDonald hamburger. And my mom said, shh, this is a hamburger. This is a hamburger. You eat the hamburger. And You know, McDonald's hamburgers, that's a special species in itself. You know, they have the buns very uniform, they have the bread just so in density, they have the so it only soaks up so much of the sauce, but you have the springiness of the bread, and then the meat is very uniform. My mom, bless her, bless her. Look, I will say this. Like, I understand now, as an adult looking back, why so many immigrants just stick within their immigrant communities within the United States or wherever. Because, you know, you're used to your own food, your own culture, your own traditions, and you stay within this cocoon. But that limits you because you're not interacting with greater society and opportunities and what the world is like. And my mom truly, she tried. She really, really tried. You know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. And my mom tried to make hamburger. She took some ground meat and she had chopped up with some onions, and them onions was not chopped well because we did not have very good knives. You know, them onions was chopped up so big and mixed within the ground beef. And look, there's an art to making the perfect burger patty. Like, there's actually episodes on Food Network. There are blogs, there are websites, there are YouTube videos on how to make the perfect patty. You have to put it, a certain thickness, a certain width. The heat on the frying pan has to be so hot with the right amount of oil. You know, you have to watch the meat so it doesn't bubble up in the middle and you flip it. My mom had none of that. None of that. She just had to figure it out on her own. She talked to some people. She tried to figure it out on her own. So with my mom's hamburgers, they look more like meatballs because they was big and bulky. Like, she probably tried to make it down into a patty, but then they probably rose up with the heat, so it kind of had that bubble in the middle. So it was like a meatball, like a gigantic mushroom meatball. And then we had white bread. We had no buns. So it was like that white Wonder Bread. And then, you know, that Wonder Bread, it just, you know, the hamburgers, she probably was in a rush because, you know, it's early Saturday morning doing this, trying to make it so it's hot enough and putting it on the white bread. And you know, that white bread just soaked up everything, all the juice. So then we eating these hamburgers and with the lettuce and big old chunks of big old iceberg lettuce leaves on top of it, and then it got the ketchup and the mustard. So now we just got a mess on our hands eating at McDonald's. I was like, this don't look like a McDonald's hamburger. She tried though. She tried. She really tried. She tried. Yeah, it got better. It got better. And a little flatter. And then I started making burgers. And by the time I was like a preteen, I'll take it from here. First Happy Meal. I remember my first Happy Meal. My first Happy Meal. I just so happened to be in the third grade. And I had just so happened, I don't know what the circumstances were exactly, but for whatever reason, I had to leave school early. It was around lunchtime. And I don't know if we were going to a special program or academic thing. It was me and this white girl in my class, Miss Medvin's third grade class, Jenny Rath, little white girl with blonde curly hair. Her mom was going to pick us up from the school, picked me, Jenny Rath, and her brother to go to this academic thing, and her mother asked, would you like lunch? They had these soft voices. Would you like lunch? And I was like, oh, I didn't have enough. I didn't know what to do. I think I had like a dollar or two, but I was on the school lunch program, so I only had the lunch ticket. And we had not made it quite to lunch. Her mother picked us up before lunch. I was like, oh, I only have a lunch ticket. So that's okay. Let's go to McDonald's. And I was like, oh, this is happening. I was like, wait a minute. Does she have a plastic bag? Jenny Rath's mother didn't appear to be the type of person that would have a plastic bag full of tins of meatballs. But no, we went to a real McDonald's. It was actually a freestanding McDonald's. And her mother asked what I wanted, and I was so confused because I knew that they had burgers, but I was like, oh my God, this is happening. I'm actually, she's buying me a Happy Meal. And the Happy Meal probably cost like all of $3. But to me, I was like, oh my God, this is just magnificent. And then her mother asked if I wanted a milkshake on top of it. I was like, what? And I'm telling, I will never forget that. I will never forget. I think I ended up with a vanilla milkshake, chocolate milkshake. And it just seemed like so much food to me. So much food. I will never forget that. Never forget that. Because it was such a momentous occasion. I think I almost remember what I was wearing. I was wearing jeans. I know I had ballies in my hair. I think Jenny Rath was wearing like a matching pantsuit. Like, I think they were like pink pants and a like white and pink shirt, you know, because her mom, they were more of the upper working class people. they were not the upper poverty, lower working class. They were more like upper working class people. They lived a couple blocks away. But it was like a world of difference over there because that was mostly white people that lived on their section of the neighborhood that went to my school. Yeah, definitely a lot of Eastern European immigrants and, you know, a lot of, I guess there was like some Irish folks, a lot of Poles, all those people. But that was definitely white on that side. Definitely upper working. But I'll never forget that. Now, the thing is, if I was to pose this question to my daughter, the kid, hey, do you remember when your first Happy Meal was? She would probably laugh in my face. My daughter is 10. You know how many Happy Meals she's eaten? I feel I should be embarrassed to say that. As a working mother, I should be better than that. I should be feeding her granola and raisins. I tried. I used to pack little, like, snack sticks. But McDonald's is insidious. And too much in the psyche of the American child. And sometimes when you're tired, you've been doing running errands, and you need your child to shut up. Shut up! We're going home! I would never tell my child to shut up, but I will get tense. I'll get tense. Tense and short. My child is in the backseat. Like, she knows, Mommy, are you stressed? She'll start, like, massaging my neck. I'll be like, yes, Mommy is stressed. Oh, Lord. Anyway, yeah, my daughter would not know this because, you know, maybe she, my daughter would not be remembering her first Happy Meal. She probably can't even remember the last Happy Meal she got, except for that whack toy that they put in her in the meal. If anything, she stopped eating Happy Meals. She begrudgingly ordered a Happy Meal because we were on our way to Santa's Enchanted Forest, and we knew we were going to eat fair food there. Because my daughter has graduated to actual meals now, and I'm like, damn, are you a date? What happened to them good old days when I could just pay for a $5 Happy Meal? Because prices have gone up. But my daughter just takes that for granted. She takes fast food for granted. She takes ordering food for granted. Like, there's times where she was like, I'm hungry. I was like, you're not really hungry. You don't know what hunger is. No, I'm hungry. Why can't you stop at Little Caesars for pizza? See, those are suggestions I would have never, ever, ever, ever thought in life to suggest to my mom because it just wasn't in my frame of reference. So maybe this has come full circle. Maybe, in a way, I have given my daughter a level of skills that I never had. So maybe, maybe by the time we get to the her child will be a Kim Kardashian. Not knowing how to cook or clean, she'll just know how to order people around and tell them how to make her hamburgers look less like meatballs. The circle of life. Ooh, that was horrible. I need to get my coffee. This has been fantastic, I think. Hit me up on social media on Twitter at BlackAnesePod, BlackAnesePod, or on Facebook, got a Facebook page, BlackAnesChick. Also on email, BlackAnesChick@gmail.com. You can hit me up directly also at Rhett Thompson, RhettThompson. Well, this has been amazing. I'm so glad that we've spent this moment in time together. Remember, there's no me without you. Until next time, see ya!